Now, this morning we are looking at the book of Hebrews. So you might like to turn with me in your Bibles there, or you can follow along in the notes in your handouts. Hebrews chapter number 12. And we're going to look at three verses this morning, 25 to 27. Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 25 to 27. We'll read these few verses and then commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 25, the Bible says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." Now, if you were with us last Sunday morning during this time, you remember we spoke about listening to the Lord. And verse 25 of chapter 12 says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." And we learn as Christians, we need to be very sure we are listening attentively to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how does he speak? He speaks through his blood. And we learn how Christ's blood was shed on the cross for our sins, and his blood still speaks today. It speaks for the forgiveness of sin. For all those who seek forgiveness can come to the Lord and receive the gift of eternal life, which is through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he speaks through his blood, then he speaks through his word, the word of God, divinely inspired, then he speaks through the Holy Spirit of God, which dwells inside every believer. And it's a great privilege that the God of the universe, if you think about it this morning, if you look around at the city of Cairns we live in, the mountains round about us, the beauty of God's creation, every morning there's a sunrise, every evening there's a sunset. And as you look around at the beauty of God's creation, it's an amazing thought that the God who created the universe wants to speak to you personally, wants to speak to me. Now that is a great privilege, but this morning we're going to focus on the part of these verses that remind us it's a great responsibility as well. It's a great responsibility. The fact that God speaks to us means that we will be held responsible to listen to his voice. Now remember, God is not just our little friend down the street that we play games with on the weekend. Amen? He is a holy God. He is a high and majestic God. He is the God of the universe. And we need to look again this morning at why it's so important to listen to the Lord. Now, here in chapter 12, there's a little bit of the background given to what was happening in the Old Testament. Remember in the previous lessons we looked at Mount Sinai, there in the desert, as the nation of Israel left Egypt and they went to the promised land. They stopped at Mount Sinai, and that's where God spoke to Moses, and he gave God's people his commandments. And you remember how Moses brought them down and spoke to the people. And at the end of the day, the Bible tells us that that those who did not listen to God, those who refused to listen, had to face God's judgment. They had to face the consequences. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28 says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." And you see, in the desert there were some that didn't want God at all. They didn't want to hear what God said. They didn't want to do that which he desired, even though he delivered them with a miraculous hand from Egypt. They refused, didn't they? They refused to listen. And they had to face the consequences. Now, whom is this book written to? Here's a trick question. And it's in the title of the book we're looking at. Whom is it written to? Who can tell me this morning? And you can all say it together. The Hebrews, that's right. Now, these were Jewish Christians that the author was writing to. Now, imagine living as a Jew and putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and suddenly becoming a Christian. Can you imagine all your Jewish friends? Remember the Jewish community, even in our world today. Every country you go to where there's a Jewish community, they're very close-knit. They're a very tight group of people. They all know who each other is, and they know each other's lives, and they're very close. And imagine if one of them became a Christian. Imagine the persecution that would take place when they were found out to have turned from the law of Moses and turned to this cultish leader, which they believed he was a cultish leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. And imagine the persecution they faced. See, the Hebrews, these Jewish Christians, were being persecuted, and they, in that persecution, many of them were falling away from the faith. What does that mean? Well, you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved forever, because God is the one that does the saving. Amen? He keeps us safe. But as Christians, we can hide our faith. We can distance ourselves from God so that no one else knows that we're a Christian. As you see, the writer was writing to these Hebrews to encourage them to live by faith. Don't make the mistake to go back to the law of Moses. Don't follow the Jewish religion. You need to listen to God's voice. And they knew, these Jewish Christians, didn't they, more than perhaps anyone else, what happened to their forefathers at Mount Sinai. What happened to their forefathers in Egypt. Now come with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I'll give you your first blank in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I don't have these verses in your notes, so if you're able, please look with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice verses 5 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Now, this is in reference to those in the wilderness with Moses. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So these were ones that didn't listen to God's voice. These were ones that rebelled against God. Notice verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for examples, which means examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. How many of you get the gist that God is saying we need to be careful to listen to what he says? Those who did not listen had to face the consequences. And God says to the Christians here in Corinth, in the church in Corinth, that these are written for our example, that we don't go down the same path of destruction, that we as Christians don't lust after the things of the world and the things of the flesh as they lusted, that we are not idolaters, that we do not commit, that we do not murmur and complain and reject the word of God. These ones are examples for us, examples. And that is the example that the writer in the book of Hebrews is giving to these Christians as we turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. So your first blank in your notes is we need to awaken to God's voice. Your first blank is the word voice. If you miss any, they're at the bottom of the back page, a little index of answers. Awaken to God's voice. We need to listen when God speaks. We need to understand there are many examples, and this is what the writer in Hebrews is saying. Don't forget those who did not listen. What happened to them? They lusted. They tempted God. They murmured against God. They refused the word of God. And as we might say to our children, did anything good happen when they did that? Sometimes I like to ask my kids as we look at different Bible stories, did anything good happen when they complained, when they murmured, when they were jealous of Moses, when they didn't want to listen to, did anything good happen out of that? No, not at all. And that's the same with you and I as Christians. We need to awaken to God's voice. Listen to the Lord when He speaks. Let me ask you this morning, what is God saying to you in your life? What is He trying to get your attention about right now? Now, I don't know what that is, and you're probably happy about that, and I'm happy you don't know what He's trying to get my attention about. But He knows, doesn't He? But one other person knows also, and that's you. And that is you. What is God trying to get your attention about? It may be a particular sin in our lives that God is saying that needs to be repented of, that needs to be turned away from. Let go of it, please, and repent before you suffer the consequences of that sin. How many of us understand God is still a holy God? He still must judge sin in the life of a believer. We do not lose our salvation, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And when we sow to our flesh, we reap destruction in our life. And God doesn't stay silent. No, He speaks to us through His word, through the preaching, through godly counsel, through our conscience, through the Spirit of God. God speaks to us. How is He speaking to you? Maybe it's a particular decision, a step of faith. You know, it's not always sin. It could be a step of faith. Like in the wilderness, God said, trust me. If I delivered you with such a great deliverance from Egypt, can't you trust me for your daily food? And when there's a little bit of leanness and I test your faith, are you just going to throw up your arms in the air and say it would have been better to go back? You know, some Christians forget that when God saves our souls, then how much more can He then provide for our daily needs? The money we need, the clothes on our back, the shelter of our lives, our homes. How can He not provide for these physical needs if He's done already much greater things in our life by saving us eternally? You see, those in Egypt, those delivered from Egypt, some of them, actually many of them, 1 Corinthians says, but many of them God was not well pleased. Let's not be those that do not listen to the voice of God. Let me encourage you to listen to His voice. God doesn't expect us to be sinless, but He does expect us to listen. Amen? He does expect us to repent. He does expect us to allow Him to change us. Awaken to God's voice. Secondly, this morning, there in your notes, at the bottom of the first page, awaken to God's messengers. Awaken to God's messengers. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, an interesting statement is made in verse number 25. The Bible says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth. Now, in the wilderness at Mount Sinai, who was it that God used in that time to speak to the nation of Israel on the earth? Who was that? It was Moses. That's right. It was Moses. We know that. And maybe some of our kids are learning that this morning. It was Moses. God spoke to Moses, and Moses spoke to the people. Now, did Moses make up what he was saying, yes or no? No. It was the word of God. He basically was simply the messenger. He was just the messenger boy. He was just the postman. He was delivering the message. It wasn't his own. It was from God. And the Bible tells us that they refused him that spake on the earth. See, if we are going to listen to God's voice, we need to make sure we listen to God's messengers. Now, time and time again, what did the people do against Moses? What did they do? That's right. They murmured. They complained. They, even Aaron and Miriam, remember what they said to Moses? They said, who do you think you are? You know, does God only speak through you? That was his own family. His brother and his sister, Miriam and Aaron. They were jealous of Moses. And then there was Korah, who led the rebellion of princes, 250 of them, against Moses and saying, hey, we don't like the way you're doing things. We don't like your style of leadership. We want to, I can be a, I'm a prince, and in fact, I'm a priest in the tabernacle, Korah said. Hey, I can do just, a better job than you can. Moses, we don't want you anymore. I've got 250 princes behind me that agree. You need to go. They murmured against Moses. And you know what the outcome was. God opened the earth, and the earth swallowed them whole. They suffered for their disobedience greatly. And what is the lesson that we learn? Well, again, chapter 12, verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Refuse not him that speaketh. Now, God speaks to us through his word. Is that correct? God speaks to us through his word, but God also speaks to us through his messengers, whether that be the pastor or teachers or other Christian friends who lovingly give us godly counsel and wisdom. God uses people to speak to us. God uses people. And we need to be very careful in the Christian life that we don't lose focus on the fact that God uses people. Now, would you agree sometimes as Christians, and I am also in the guilty bucket, sometimes as Christians we make the excuse, well, they're just a person. They're just a man. What do they know? You know, if God wants to tell me something, he can tell me himself. I don't want to listen to that. Have you ever said that in your heart before? I know I have. And you know when that thought comes around? It's when something is said to me that I don't like, that goes against what I want to do. I remember I've been very irritated before at my pastor. I didn't tell him, of course, but I didn't like what he said. I didn't agree with what he said, and it irritated me. It made me frustrated. And what was the excuse that came up? Well, he's just a man, you know? He's just a sinner saved by grace. And you know, that's just his opinion. Brethren, we need to be careful. Because at the same time as that wrong thought comes up, there's another voice speaking. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, now hang on a second. Hang on a second. If God is using that person to speak to you, it's not that person's opinion. It is God. God's trying to get your attention. And that's what happens in church. When the word of God is preached, it's just like Moses giving the message. He's just a messenger. He's just a man. That's true, but the word of God is God's word. And we need to be careful not to make excuses not to listen. And just say, well, that's just a person. If it's from the word of God, if it is true, though he may inject, or that speaker or that teacher that you may sit under might inject some thoughts of their own and some experiences of their own, if they're preaching the word of God, then friends, that is what we need to obey. Regardless of the personality, regardless of what we might think, positive or negative, the voice of the messenger, they refused him that spake on the earth. They refused him. Now, I don't believe we are in a church like that. But God says to these Christians, and something we can learn from, don't turn a deaf ear to someone who's trying to help you just because they're another sinner like you, saved by grace. Amen? God is using that person. God uses pastors, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, godly Christian friends. Hebrews chapter 13, while we're already there, we're in chapter 12. Notice chapter 13, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. In verse 17, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. Two words that the world doesn't want to hear today. Obey, obedience, and rule. Now, those are not bad words. Friends, if we did not have law and order in our city, How many of you understand that Cairns would very quickly fall into absolute anarchy? Easily. Overnight, if we didn't have law and order. There is an order for everything. And God has an order too. It's not for our hurt, it's for our benefit. And it has nothing to do with who's better and who does God love more. No, it's God's plan. God's plan of how things should work. And the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. As the pastor of Coastline Baptist Church, one day I will have to give an account. I'll have to give an account to God, but notice the rest of the verse. It's not an account of myself, according to this verse, in this context. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. What are the following words? For that is unprofitable for
you.
Christian, one day I'll have to give an account for you. And who does it say it is unprofitable for if I cannot give that account with joy? Who is it unprofitable for? That means the word unprofitable means no gain from it. No benefit, nothing good will come out of it, as we already said. Who does that fall on? Friends, it falls on you. It falls on you. The account will need to be given by the teacher or the missionary or the pastor or the leader, but it is the people that suffer the consequences. Now, as Christians, one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and God will hold us to account. Of what? How did we listen? Did we obey the voice of God? Did we listen to God's voice? And I think the average Christian, to be honest with you, takes every message with a grain of salt. And if something disagrees, well, that's pastor's opinion. But if I like what was said on Sunday, then I'll do it. Friends, the Bible says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." You see, it's so important to value the preciousness of the local New Testament church. Again, I'm not saying I'm anyone special, but when a messenger gives the message that is the word of God, we need to listen. Would you agree? We need to listen. We need to awaken to God's messengers. Now, that's a stirring statement. It's not the most comfortable lesson I would like to teach this morning, but it's from the Word of God. As a pastor, I would rather not say that because it puts me under pressure. But the Word of God is His Word. I can't hold it back either. And so we need to understand that it's unprofitable for us. And when I despised what my pastor was saying, guess what? I needed to change my attitude. And when I did, after a little while, I looked back and I was thankful that I did. And I received the benefit and the blessing from it. Now, he's just a man, but he's God's messenger. And so we need to listen. We need to be careful not to refuse godly wisdom and counsel. We need to be careful to listen. All right, thirdly, awaken to God's shaking. Now, the title of our lesson, you probably noticed it, is Awaken or Get Shaken. Awaken or Get Shaken. Now, notice what verse 26 says as we close. So, awaken to God's shaking. On the second page, your blank is the word shaking. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth, but also heaven. Well, you might need to stand a bit. Also heaven. So, he shook the earth. Can you see that there in verse number 26? The earth shook. The earth shook at the voice of God. Do you remember at Mount Sinai? There was God, and he caused an earthquake to take place. Do you remember how the people feared God and they saw the lightning, they saw the thunder, they saw the earth shake, and they were trembling in fear and reverence of God? And the word shake describes an earthquake. And we know that when God created the world, what did he do? He created the world with the word of his voice. He said, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. He spoke the universe into existence. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, at the end of time, and that is what these verses are speaking about, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Do you remember last year we looked at the book of the Revelation? And do you remember the judgments that will take place during a catastrophic seven-year period of time to come in the future? A catastrophe, a catastrophic time that would consume the earth. None like man has ever seen before. Now, thankfully, those of us who know Christ as Savior, we will be taken away before that judgment falls. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But God will shake things up again on the earth. This is a prophecy for the future. But what lesson can we learn from this truth? Well, notice verse 27 talks about the removing of those things that are shaken. And there's a picture given to us here. God's going to shake things up in order to remove those things that need to go. And so the good things will remain. Now, we can liken this to the idea of gold mining, and the old miners are panning for gold. What would those miners do? Well, they would take that pan. They would be looking for gold. They would dip that pan into water, swirl it around, shake it up, literally. And what would remain? The gold would remain. Now, the gold was heavier than the sand and the dirt, so that would settle at the bottom of the pan. And the dirt and the sand, that which is useless, that which is of no value, would be gotten rid of. Now, that's a little picture of what God desires to do in your life and mine. Isn't that a wonderful illustration? When God shakes up your life, when He shakes up my life and He tries to get our attention to listen to His voice, friends, it's for our benefit. Why? He doesn't seek to harm us. He seeks to help us get rid of those things that are worthless, that are doing us damage. So the gold would remain. Does that make sense? So that which is precious, that which honors God, that which glorifies God. The Bible says that the trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Amen? God does try our faith. God shakes our lives up. Why? Because He wants us to loosen our grip on those things, on everything but Him, really, on those things that need to go. And as I close this lesson off, friends, growth in the school of faith can only happen when you listen to God's voice, and when we're not, you allow God to shake you up a bit. Amen? How many of you are thankful this morning that God shakes you up when you're going on the wrong path? Just like the parent who stops their child from crossing the road when you're not meant to cross. You know, she might need to use a loud voice. She might need to enforce some discipline. Now, the child may not like that at first, but thank God the parent has saved the child's life. Amen? That's a picture of God's love. God loveth us as children. He deals with us as children. He'll need to chasten us. He'll need to correct us for our own benefit. And that is our love. That is the love of our Heavenly Father. God wants to shake our world to remove that would stop us from glorifying Him. Now, it doesn't matter whether you're a new Christian or whether you've been a Christian for a long time, God still shakes up our lives. He does. He shakes up our lives. We all tend to get too comfortable and we trust things we can see instead of God. We might say we're trusting God, but we're really trusting our bank account. We might say we're trusting God, but we're really trusting ourselves and our own ideas instead of His truth and His word. You know, we begin to think, I don't need God. I can make it on my own. And then God shakes our life up and we realize how much we need Him. How much we are in need of His presence in our lives. The purpose of that shaking is to remove those things that need to fall away. And our friends, it's good for us to listen to God's voice. I trust that has been clear this morning. It's good for us to allow Him to shake up our lives a little bit. You know, none of us, let's be honest, like it when our lives are turned upside down. None of us do. You know, we like security, don't we? You can say yes. We like to know what will happen tomorrow and the next week. You know, we like to plan for the future. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes God, in His almighty wisdom, turns everything upside down. And though it doesn't feel good in the moment, for the present, no chastening seemed to be joyous, but grievous, the Bible says. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Isn't that what we learn already? So we need to understand God has a bigger plan than the moment of discomfort that I'm in. When He shakes up my life, when He seeks to take away, and we need to be careful, we listen to God. If you're still hanging on to that thing, that sin, that relationship, that desire, and God's trying to shake it out of your hands, make sure you let go as soon as possible. Amen? We're all hanging on to something. Make sure when God speaks to you, you let go of it. Surrender it to God. Say, Lord, it's yours. Whether it's a sin or whether it's something spiritual, if God is getting your attention, we need to listen to God's voice. Let me close with the first statement once again in verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. And let's all, as God's people, make sure we listen to him this week. Make sure we pay attention. Make sure you spend time in the Word of God and open your heart to godly counsel, those who are sharing God's Word with you. And let's allow him to lead us into this week as we walk by faith.